Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and welcome you back again. Glad you could be with us, and glad I could be with you. I want to talk today a little bit about what shall I do then with Jesus. This is some information that I got from a very, very old sermon from Billy Sunday, that Billy Sunday, preached. Billy was born in 1862, died in 1935, but he preached a sermon called "What Shall I Do Then with Jesus?" And when I was reading through it, it just really, really hit me that you know, that's some good stuff that he had in there. So I wanted to kind of share that with you. There's a lot of times I'll see or read something, hear something or read something that just really is poignant to me and really means a lot. And I think that others can benefit from it. And this happens to be one of them. And he said it in a way that was better than what I could have done. And so I thought that would be the thing to do. I believe sometimes we just have to humble ourselves and realize that sometimes other people can say things better than we can, and that's a good thing to learn. So, the text on the on that sermon was, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" That's from Matthew 27:22. Matthew 27:22. 1900 years ago, a star poised above a lowly manger in Bethlehem and above the moonlit hills of Judea. The angels heralded the beginning of the life of Jesus upon earth. He who came to teach us the religion of human kindness, brotherly love, and salvation through repentance and faith in his shed blood. Now, no matter what he said or did, the Jews refused to acknowledge Jesus' claims as the Messiah. The enmity finally culminated in the greatest tragedy that the brutality of man ever committed or the eye of God ever witnessed, and the murder of Jesus Christ under false testimony. Jealous of his popularity and rejecting his divinity, they resolved at all hazards to kill him. And that's what they did. Now, not having the power of life and of death in their own hands, or tribunals, they renounced him before Pilate, the Roman governor. To stir up his enmity, they said that he was an impostor, that he had stirred up sedition, and that he was an enemy of the government. I'm sure y'all remember that. Now, Pilate, remember, he examined the charges made against him, but being unable to prove him guilty of any offense worthy of death, he proposed that they release him, but the rabble, you know, remember, they shrieked and screamed, "No, no, away with him, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas." And next to Jesus, Pilate is the scene, and from his lips fall the words that Billy here taken for his text. When they cried Barabbas, he turned to them and said, "Well then, what will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I got rid of Barabbas at your suggestion, but I still have Jesus on my hands." Well, and, you know, Pilate was very near the line. You know, he tried to reason with him. Then he arose from the throne, took Jesus by the hand, led him out of the in front of them and said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" So I led him out before the audience, Pilate did, and, you know, and asked that question. And that would be a question that would be asked of you this morning. You know, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Excuse me. Now, remember that Pilate was confronted with a lot of difficulties. He had many things to encourage him. You know, he had his wife's dream, remember. And, you know, if you don't remember, it wasn't talked about much in the Bible. It's actually very briefly told in the Bible. Oh, let's see, let's see what it says. It's actually just in one scripture. And it's no evidence of her worth and character as a woman that God condescended to reveal himself in a dream to her. He revealed himself in a dream to Pharaoh, to Nebuchadnezzar. Yet, for all we know, Mrs. Pilate might have been a very reverent, devout woman, constantly on the alert to save her husband from the difficulties in which she knew his miserable, pliable temper would lead him. Somehow, while she slept, God worried her by a dream. What he revealed, we don't know. Presumably, it was about Jesus and the part her husband was to play in the tragedy here. They couldn't put him on the cross without the consent of Pilate. She sent a messenger to Pilate with the plea, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Have nothing to do with him." So what we have, is we have the personality of Jesus, and never had such a personality appeared before Pilate for sentencing. So this was something, really new to Pilate. And, there Jesus stood in his calmness, in his purity, in his power. It was hard for Pilate to understand what to do with him. He was, I'm sure, very taken aback by the whole thing. And, like Billy said in his sermon, he said he pranked to tell you that if he were on the jury, the personality of the man would have been a big drag with him. Because of, the way he acted, almost as much as what the man on the witness stand would say. He said, "If I were called upon to try a man like Bryan or Roosevelt, I am frank to tell you that his personality would have made a tremendous drag, on his decision-making process." And it would, And Pilate had the personality of Jesus. He had the miracles of Jesus. I don't know if Pilate ever witnessed any of Christ performing a miracle, but we do know that Pilate, he'd seen men and women who had been, the recipient of that power of Jesus. Pilate was aware of who Jesus was and what he was doing. I'm really sure that he was aware of the miracles that Jesus performed, because they were, they were conversation all around the land then, and especially in those towns there. And there's no section of the country where, you couldn't find somebody whom Jesus had benefited either by, opening their eyes or curing their lameness or something of that nature. So while there were certain things that influenced Pilate for Jesus, there are other things discouraged him. And while God's trying to bring influence to bear towards making you a Christian, remember the devil is bringing influence to bear toward keeping you away from Jesus. So there's that struggle that goes on, And Pilate, he had these things to consider. First, what would the Jews say? And that was something that he wanted to really get an answer to. The Jews were at this time under the control of the Romans, who were severe in their actions and in their exactions. And Pilate was the very, essence of that severity. So harsh was he that some of the influential Jews had gone to Rome to intercede with Caesar to have Pilate recalled and a more kind and humane man, placed over them in Jerusalem. So Pilate knew that these Jews had no use for Jesus. He also knew that if they heard that he had thrown his influence on the side of Jesus, it would only increase their, enmity and their hatred, and they would, bring a stronger influence to bear against him. So Pilate figured these Jews up at Jerusalem have no use for Jesus. They say he is a fraud. If they hear that I say he is not a fraud, then they will have no use up for me. But if they hear that I have denounced him, I'll win their friendship. They'll withdraw their opposition and, I'll get to, hold on to my job. And that's basically what Pilate was, doing. So what we have here, folks, is Pilate was willing to let, that gang of crooks, nail Jesus to the cross in order to keep their friendship and hold his job. And that's basically what he did. He sold him out. And now all over the land today, there's people who are willing to do the same thing for a trifling reason. Pilate, my friends, ask himself, what would the Jews say about it? Well, Pilate should not have yielded to their clamor, but should have been willing to sacrifice his office and his life to avoid convicting Christ Jesus, because he knew he was an innocent person. It was that Jewish hierarchy that threatened old Pilate as an office holder, and just like politicians today, you know, there's a lot of them that'll sell out to you know, benefit for themselves. That's what it boils down to, you know, anything to keep their job. You know, Billy has a very colorful way of describing some people in his sermons, and in this particular sermon, Billy says, Pilate was a stand pat, free lunch, pie counter, pliable, plastic, lickspittle, rat hole, tin horn, weasel-eyed, word-healing, grafting politician of his day, pure and simple. Old Pilate was a direct product of the political system of Rome. He was a typical machine politician, and there is no more low-down scoundrel on earth than a mere typical machine politician. So, you know, that's Billy Sunday's interpretation of what old Pilate was, just like some of these politicians in today's world. It's sad when we look at that description. We're calling a lot of our politicians today the same types that they were in Billy Sunday's day back in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, and even back in the days of Jesus. So it's amazing how some things seem to not change much, isn't it? So what will the Jews say? Well, listen, what will Caesar say? You know, remember, Caesar's word was the law. Pilate says, if Caesar at Rome hears that I have let Jesus go and by that act admitted that I believe his claims are just, he won't stand for it. So off will come my head. I'll surely, you know, at least lose my job. But if Caesar hears that I say this man Jesus is a fraud and that I let them put him on a cross, he'll know that I am at my job working for the interests of Rome, and I will win Caesar's favor and, you know, keep my job. Now, doesn't that sound familiar, just like some of the things going on in today's society? Isn't that something? What are you sell out to keep your job. You know, it's just amazing how people will do that. But, he was willing, Pilate was willing to sacrifice Jesus to please old Caesar and to please a gang that had no use for Jesus. You know, I despise a man like that. But listen, you don't have to go back to the old Pilate. You don't have to go out of this city or out of your own little realm, people, to find people of the same low-down type as old Pilate was. Pilate often heard of Jesus. No doubt he was prejudiced against him and was longing for the chance to sentence against Jesus, you know, to pass a sentence against him. I imagine the look of wonder must have swept over the face of Pilate as Jesus was ushered into his courtyard, you know, or into his court. You know, Pilate turned to him and said, "Art thou the Son of God?" And Jesus answered, "I am." He was either the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, or not. And remember, he was, you know, he would have been, just somebody they thought about, that was born out of wedlock. And, he was either conceived by the Holy Ghost, or he was the illegitimate offspring of, Mary. So, you know, you can throw away your Unitarian theory that makes Jesus an offspring of a unmarried woman, as people like to call it. Now, Billy said, "My mother taught me that the good book didn't lie, and if Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God, it does lie. My mother taught me that a good man didn't lie, and if Jesus Christ wasn't the Son of God, he was a liar, and all the teachings of the Bible are false." Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I mean, that's exactly true. I mean, either the Bible is what it says it is, or it's not. One of the two. It can't be both. It can't be the Word of God and not the Word of God. Jesus can't claim to be Jesus in the Bible and not be who he claims, because then that would make the Bible lies, and of course we know that that's not true. So there's a lot more to this. It's very interesting. I hope you're enjoying it. We're going to continue it tomorrow. Try to get through that, but it's a very interesting piece that I think we can continue to learn from. So God bless each one of you. We'll continue on in the morning. Thank you. Amen.